Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This hour on the Brian Lehrer Show, we have the Libertarian candidate for president live in our studio. He's sitting right here. We'll get right to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. Later in the hour, we will reimagine for the digital age Thomas More's classic book, Utopia. This is kind of an open source utopia that we'll talk to the author of. And David Cody this hour, theater editor for Time Out New York, to preview the fall theater season, including the latest revival of Annie, which is already open in previews. We will get to Gary Johnson in just 60 seconds. I do want to tell you first, though, if you're just joining us, that this is day one of our fall membership drive, and we sincerely hope that everyone who listens to WNYC on a regular basis will help us pay to run the place. If that includes you, a regular listener, please call 1-888-376-WNYC. That's 1-888-376-9692. Or you can pledge online at WNYC.org. We'll talk more about it later, but I do just want to establish it that Pledge Week is beginning, and we do hope you'll come through with something, maybe $5 or $10 a month to help us pay the bills, more if you can afford it. And thanks a lot for considering it. We hope for full participation among our very regular listeners. 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And really, thanks a lot. Now, two, the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, great to be here. Thank you for thanks.
I think you're probably best known at this point for your position on marijuana legalization and the war on drugs. Is that a centerpiece of your campaign?
Well, I wouldn't say centerpiece, but if it's a litmus test for having a brain, terrific. I mean, I think we're at a tipping point on the marijuana issue. It's on the ballot in Colorado. Regulate marijuana like alcohol. Colorado gets it. About 6 years ago, Denver voted to decriminalize marijuana on a campaign based on marijuana being safer than alcohol.
Something similar failed on the ballot in California last year. If that passes in Colorado, does that mean there'd be sort of package stores that would sell different brands of pot, and it would be literally regulated like alcohol?
I think that's what that's the implication. And, of course, it will end up being 50 different state models that deal with legalization of marijuana. And I say this tongue-in-cheek, but when everybody gets on an airplane in New York to head to Denver to chill out for the weekend after they do this, everybody else will catch up.
As the Libertarian candidate, are you trying to get most of the Ron Paul supporters who felt so marginalized in the Republican primaries and at the convention? And, of course, Ron Paul was once the Libertarian Party candidate for president.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you go down the litany of issues, look, I don't want to bomb Iran. I want to get out of Afghanistan, bring the troops home. I think that marriage equality is a constitutionally guaranteed right. Let's end the drug wars. I would have never signed the Patriot Act. I would have never signed the National Defense Authorization Act, allowing for you and I as U.S. citizens to be arrested and detained without being charged. I think we need to balance the federal budget now, or we're going to find ourselves in a monetary collapse. Strong U.S. dollar, not weak U.S. dollar. And then let's eliminate income tax, corporate tax, abolish the IRS, and replace all of that with one federal consumption tax, which in my opinion, Brian, is really the answer when it comes to American jobs. Tens of millions of American jobs with a zero corporate tax rate environment.
Well, let's stay on that one. Eliminate the income tax, not reduce it. Eliminate the corporate tax. Abolish the IRS. And replace all of that with one federal consumption
one
tax.
Federal, in this case, I'm embracing the fair tax. For those listening, check it out, fairtax.org. It's a proposal that 90 congressmen and women have signed on to. There are millions of supporters of the fair tax. So really, what I'm advocating is one federal consumption tax.
That's like a sales tax?
It's like a sales tax. Only what's important is that it would be the only federal tax.
Why is that so ethically preferable to an income tax or other kinds of taxes that you would abolish?
Well, you recognize, I think we all recognize how convoluted taxes have become. And I think at the heart of crony capitalism is our tax system, where loopholes are for sale. So you're going to eliminate all that. Eliminate all of that. I think by adopting the fair tax that we could issue pink slips to half of Washington lobbyists, because half of Washington lobbyists are there to garner loopholes.
And for people who are worried that that would put a disproportionate burden on poor and working class people who need to buy, you know, food and basic supplies of life, that it would be the same kind of consumption tax as on somebody who might buy a corporate jet, to take an example that comes up in the campaign, would it be?
Well, one of the rightful criticisms of a consumption tax is that it's regressive. So the way the fair tax deals with that is it gives everybody in the country, you and I, a $200 a month prebate check. So we're going to get $2,400 a year from the federal government, which will allow everyone to pay the fair tax up to the point of the poverty level. And I'm talking now about being able to pay that tax. It's kind of an unavoidable amount of consumption tax that you're going to have to pay for food, clothing, shelter, gasoline, whatever.
Libertarian Party candidate for president, Gary Johnson, my guest on WNYC. And along with this, which would be less taxation, unlike Governor Romney, you're not claiming that your tax reform would be revenue neutral.
Actually, this is scored as revenue neutral.
Really?
Only there are some that declare this as a tax reduction.
But you want to slash the federal government.
By 43%.
I read that you advocate slashing military spending, for example, by 43%. Is that an accurate number?
Yes, it is. Well, we need to cut $1.4 trillion from federal government spending. And all of this, believing that if we don't fix this, if we don't do this now, we're going to find ourselves in a monetary collapse. And a monetary collapse, very simply, when the dollars we have in our pocket don't buy a thing because of the accompanying inflation that is going to go along at some point with borrowing and printing money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar we spend.
So if you're going to cut the military that much, are you sort of like Ron Paul on foreign policies? He was, you know, he got a lot of attention in the early primary debates for saying that in the relationship with Iran, we're really the aggressor, not them.
Well, we are. We have, in my opinion, hundreds of millions of enemies to this country because of our military interventions. But for those military interventions, we wouldn't have those enemies.
Are you libertarian to the point of wanting to abolish Medicare and Social Security?
No, I think that these, first of all, I mean, it's a laudable goal, the notion of weaning people off of welfare. But I think that we need to spend within our means. So I think that when it comes to Medicaid and Medicare, that the federal government needs to block grant the states a fixed amount of money, 43% less than what we're currently spending. Let the states draw new lines. Brian, I oversaw the reform of Medicaid in the state of New Mexico. We took it from a fee-for-service model to a managed care model. We saved hundreds of millions of dollars. We set up better health care networks. At the time, in my heart of hearts, if the federal government would have block-granted the state of New Mexico 43% less money, done away with all the strings and the mandates on how health care is to be delivered to the poor, I could have, in my opinion, overseen the delivery of health care to the poor. I would apply that same model to Medicare. Medicare is a benefit that you and I pay $30 into and get a $100 benefit. By extension, we pay $30,000 into a benefit that we all receive a $100,000 benefit from. This is absolutely not sustainable. So when you have the debate here, the last debate between Obama and Romney, and they're arguing over who's going to spend more money on Medicare, the raging debate and discussion should be over how we cut Medicare and still provide a safety net for those, a health care safety net for those over 65.
Did you try to talk about these positions the way you're talking about them as a presidential candidate when you were governor of New Mexico? Because people on the left are going to think you're wacky when you talk about cutting the government to the extent that you do. People on the right are going to think that you're wacky when you talk about cutting the military and, you know, maybe legalizing marijuana. Were you completely out as a libertarian when you were governor of a state?
Well, yes. So I think the arbiter of how that all went over was the fact that I got reelected by a bigger margin the second time than the first time in a state that is 2-1 Democrat. So the criticism was always there were going to be people dying in the streets. And, of course, none of that happened. It was more efficient government, and I think everybody saw that.
Have you had a chance to reflect on our electoral system? Can you point to one thing that would help break the two-party stranglehold? I know you're frustrated. Jill Stein from the Green Party, who's going to be on later in the week, is frustrated. Is it campaign finance? Is it the Electoral College? Is it the media?
Well, it is the media. You know, I've got a dozen examples, but if I might cite one, CNBC, about halfway through the debates, they stopped issuing criteria for the debates. And I did run as a Republican before switching over to become a Libertarian. But halfway through the debates, they stopped issuing criteria for the debates. But CNBC, first debate, two criteria for the debates, 4% in any national poll over the prior year and be registered to run for president. Well, I was 4% in Gallup within the year in May, and then I was registered to run for president of the United States. They would not return our calls as to why I was not given a seat at the debate table. And I am a former two-term governor of New Mexico, successful, I believe. And I went to the Republican Party, which I think you would have done in the same situation, and demanded of the Republican National Committee, look, the Republican Party here is being dictated to unfairly. They said, here's the criteria they set. I met the criteria. You have to stand up for me. And they would have nothing to do with it. So it was very unfair. I was very unfairly excluded. That was not my experience running for governor of New Mexico. I was included in the debates, the discussions. I was able to make my case as to why I should be governor of New Mexico.
By the way, anytime we say third-party candidate, you can hear the ghost of Ralph Nader, Florida 2000. Do you worry about playing the Ralph Nader role to Mitt Romney as kind of an apostate Republican and taking away critical votes?
Well, you know, we can apply that to both sides. Right now, there have been five states that have actually, from a polling standpoint, that they've done that analysis. In New Mexico, in Colorado, and in Nevada, I take more votes away from Obama. North Carolina, Michigan, I take more votes away from Romney. So I think it really is a mixed bag. And to hell with mixed bag. I think I'm talking about issues that need to be talked about. And I just point at the example the other night about these two guys arguing over who's going to spend more money on Medicare when we need to have a raging debate and discussion over how we cut Medicare. The vice presidential debate, Ryan at the end of the debate says, look, we're going to increase spending by 3%. They're going to increase spending by 4.5%. This is what we're debating. It's really much to do about nothing. Yes, that's right, Representative Ryan, much to do about nothing.
We have about 2 minutes left. Real quick, two libertarian positions that I'm curious if you adhere to. One is that the government has no place in anti-discrimination law in the private sector. Ron Paul got into trouble for this, and people said he was a bigot. He said, I'm not a bigot. I just don't think that the federal government should tell a restaurant who they can serve, even if I hate the bigotry.
Well, I believe I would have signed civil rights legislation if I would have been in Congress in the 60s. I would have signed that legislation. So government does have a role to protect us against individuals, groups, corporations that would do us harm. And I think that is a constitutional issue when it comes to equality, discrimination.
And you were governor of a border state. A pure libertarian position would be open borders and let capital flow freely, let labor flow freely.
Well, we should make it as easy as possible for somebody that wants to come into this country and work to get a work visa. Would immigrants stand in line if the line was moving to get a work visa? Yes, I think they would stand in line if the line was moving. And don't build a fence. And then so much of the rap against border has to do with border violence, and that's a prohibition phenomenon. Look, 90% of the drug problem is prohibition-related, not use-related. That's not to discount the problems with use and abuse, but that should be the focus.
Last thing, the New York Times this week chronicled some of the efforts, mostly on the part of Republicans, to actually impede your candidacy, even as a third-party candidate. There are even charges of spying and coercion to keep you off the ballot or intimidate your employees. Are you aware of any of these tactics?
I am. Apparently, these things happened. And you know what? I'm going to take it as a compliment. Look, I'm no factor, but we're going to engage Johnson in in all of these Watergate-type activities to prevent him from being on the ballot. I mean, it's really laughable, but it did happen. He can't make it up. You just can't make it up.
The former governor of New Mexico, the current Libertarian Party candidate for president, Gary Johnson, thank you for coming into our studio and sharing your views.
Brian, great to be on. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.